Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell everybody, even people you hate. Because this is a show for everybody. Everybody needs to get into this. Everybody needs to be involved. Everyone. Even your mortal enemies, people whose blood and guts you hate. You are listening to Kakuna from the microphone here, and I'm DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only. I'm going to be flying solo tonight. My co-host, Comedian Organic OK, is not going to be on the broadcast. He won't be here. Right. Now, there's nothing that says that you can't be. You want to be on the radio right now? Please call in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. And this show, we're also endorsing, check out a singer by the name of Maya Harrison. She has her own website. I know. Now, who doesn't? But really, honestly, check her out. She's available. And she's going all over doing a world tour thing, kind of like we are. A very different one, of course. All right. Now, let's start from the beginning. If you've listened to this show, you know that me personally, I'm a soul from the town of McKinleyville, California. Where horses have the right of way. I'm from McKinleyville, and you know what? I've been all over now. And I want to say, I still mean every fiber of my being. It's still the best damn city to be in. It's still the best city there is. I know everybody screams like that about their hometown, but really, McKinleyville is more than just magical. It's the best. We had everything. Now, when I was in McKinleyville, California, I did everything there was to do there. You understand? I did everything. It's in Northern California, so I got to, you know, we have snow up there. Northern California. I got to snow, ski, sled, snowboard. I did all that. We also have a beach there. I got to sail, surf, windsail, parasail. We have a lot of trails there. I took a walk. I went on hikes. I rode on horseback, skateboarded. Did it all. Because that's what McKinleyville was about. It's a city where we had everything you could possibly ask for. One thing I didn't do there was really plan and think about my future. I don't know what I was going to do. What am I going to do when the future comes? When the future is the present. When it's time to grab yourself by the bootstraps and go out there and slog through the hell that is life, be out there in the rat race in that cold, cruel world, what was I going to do? I just thought, I'll take any job, I'll do whatever, as long as I can sit back, stop, and smell the roses. I was just a leisurely guy, a C-average student in school. I was a totally easygoing, coasting guy. What happened was eventually time caught up with me. There I was, graduation day in high school, and now it's time to enter the adult world. College, that's the next step. Family didn't have the money to send me to college. I didn't get to go. I thought, oh, well, once again, I'll just take whatever job there is to get by and whatever. And I found out there's not a call for those jobs because the unskilled, man, they're everywhere. I mean, everybody somewhere is doing them. There are people coming in this country to do them, to get out of where they came from. It's getting worse and worse. And even the jobs for the skilled, those for special skills, there's all these people trying to go to college right now to get that skill to make that kind of money. It's still happening. So there's a high demand. Real life. I wasn't prepared for it. Our parents try to warn us about what it's about, but we don't really listen until it happens to us, until it hits us. That's a fact. That's what happened to me. Now, me, once again, I didn't know what I was going to do. Originally, I had my own blog talk internet radio show, just like this one. I got one of these, and you know what? I go by the name DJ Butterfly Feet, but I wasn't spinning discs like some nobody. No, I was the guy who used the radio to say what I thought was wrong with the world, what was missing, what is needed, what needs to be. You know, I always thought that radio, It's not supposed to be music or whatever. Whatever. I respected those people who are on the radio talking about what is going on with the world to basically sort of light a fire and help the collective consciousness of humanity. The world will be a better place if we just, you know, one of those people. Now there are more of those people now than ever. It really is a rat race, isn't it? Isn't it? Dang, it's just murder, isn't it? Whatever. There I was. There I was. Thinking about what I was going to do next. I actually asked a lot of my buddies, people I knew from my hometown, to listen and tune in. But they didn't even know how. They didn't even know how. You know how to listen to something on terrestrial radio. Do they even have terrestrial radio anymore? Do they even exist? I mean, now that they have free musical downloading and they have the news on the internet for free, does anyone even listen to the radio anymore? Anybody? I think it's a dead art form. But anywho, you know how to do that. You can do that. But the people didn't know how to listen to internet radio. Most of the world, they don't know how. They don't know basically how do you tune into the internet radio. So anybody listen? How do you listen to it? How do you watch? How do you tune in? How does it work? Is there special radio for that? Nowadays, everybody's got some internet sort of show thing or whatever set up. It's kind of especially hard to really make a stand with one. Anywho, there I was basically pouring my heart out, and I don't think anybody was listening. But the truth is, really, honestly, finally, my show ended. The free account ran out, and they wanted me to start paying for it. And then I was without whatever. My father said, when are you going to get a job? Where are their jobs? Look around. I mean, there's just an overlap, an overflow. No jobs available. People lining up on the, people on the street basically thrown out. And in a town like McKinleyville, where we seem to have everything and no one believed there was no jobs, there were no vacancies, whatever. So it was kind of hard for me to find a place to stay there. He said, well, maybe you should leave town. Maybe you should find some place outside of McKinleyville. Was he serious? You got to understand something. The idea of leaving McKinleyville was terrifying to me. It was all terrifying to me. Dang. I found myself just at a loss until one point my dad told me to get out. He told me to stay here as long as he did because I was his son and he loved me. But the truth was he let me stay as long as I did because otherwise he would have had to spend more time with my mother, talking to her. My parents had nothing to say to each other. You know that age where basically, you know, you're supposed to be out of the house, your parents can have their time together. My parents didn't want that. They never liked the sight and sound of each other. They got married as a lack of options, and they stayed together for the same reason. It was true. That doesn't mean they wanted me around. So I packed my stuff, what little I could. I walked out there with a backpack that was only half full and the clothes on my back. Walked out of the house, waved goodbye. Now, this happened around the holidays, by the way. Keep me out around the holidays. I'm not kidding. At the end of the year, just when everybody's starting to celebrate something, you understand why there are so many dang suicides basically around the end of the year. People don't have what they need, get really depressed. I basically was walking around, taking a long hike, and I walked through the woods like I almost always do. I started walking through the woods, and there I was. There I was, right there in the flesh, at the end of the trail, near the picnic area. There was a group of people there. I was shocked. Now, I thought I knew everybody in town, so I thought, okay, these guys obviously aren't from McKinleyville. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. It's a town motto. I thought I knew everybody. I didn't know these guys. Maybe that meant that they weren't actually from town. Okay, fine. I was nervous and cautious. I tried to approach them. They were, hey, how you doing, man? Come on over. I told them my story. Who I was. And dang it all. They basically started telling me their story about their journey. They had been going all over the world, all over, basically trying to help the people, whatever, picking garbage up off the streets. And basically trying to help homeless people get off the streets as well. I was floored. Now this sounds like a nice crusade. This is something. I don't know. I remember just feeling basically, well, just kind of sort of depressed. I mean, but whatever. But here they were telling me their stuff, what they were doing. I told them I just lost my home. It's the end of the year right now. They should at least wait until the year was over and we would celebrate it and whatever, that we had each other and whatever. They looked me in the eyes. And they told me, one of them told me, the big guy, the big hulking guy, who seemed to be the leader of them all, said, how'd you like to come with us? Once again, I was floored. I was like, come with you? Do what? Come, the big guy, the guy who referred to himself as organic, okay, said, come on, help us pick up garbage and whatnot, and help get the homeless up, or whatever, help shelter the homeless, help us get behind the cause. You can do that, can't you? Come on, join us. Help us. How could I say no? I thought, I couldn't believe it. The very night I got kicked out. Now, when you're first kicked out of your home and you're on the street, it doesn't quite sink in right away. You think, maybe this will pick up. Maybe things will turn themselves around. All the way around. I'm sure this is temporary. It's not going to happen. It's just a setback. I'm not actually going to. But I'm sure they all think that at first. Everybody does until it sinks to you. Oh, my God, I'm on the street. And you're walking up to random people, begging them for money, which you're probably going to spend on booze. Well, come what may, they took me with them. We stayed up the whole night talking about whatever, and sure enough, in the morning, we left McKinleyville, California. We even left America. There we were, basically flying a plane all the way to Italy, Vicenza, Italy. Now, Vicenza really was basically, it was a beautiful place. We were for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. They celebrate a little bit differently. I mean, they all get together and watch the fireworks, of course, celebrating the new year and yada, 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 like everybody else does. But things were a little different. I got to basically try some Italian food while we were over there. We basically stayed in a hotel while we were doing our chair thing, whatever. We got to try Italian cuisine. I know it's available here in America, but it's not quite the same. When you actually have it in Italy, believe me, you can taste the difference. Honestly. Anywho, there we were. We've been going from place to place all over. I saw the streets. Everything was on them. I saw the taggers that deface everything, the thing and how people were living on the streets or in abandoned houses, you know, whatever. Thrown away like so much garbage. It got to me. We've been going all over trying to help the cause. And now we were in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, which we have been for the past so-and-so days, whatever. It's 7:15 here on the program, here on Cocoon from the Microphone, here with DJ Butterfly Feces here, the one and only. Don't just listen, talk. Tell us what's going on with you. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709.
Yep, we were still there. Dear God, how many more days? How much longer are we going to be here? Dang it all. I was looking forward to leaving. You know, organic showed us pure and simple why we needed to be there. Some places are worse to be poor in, worse to live in general. I couldn't take this anymore. Oh, come on. What was that belly aching? It's not like I had to live here. You know, maybe I am just a wuss, a weakling, a tenderfoot. We're here to do a job. And I'm complaining that's not really that comfortable here. What did I think I was? What, didn't I was we were on a mission here? I know I'm babbling right now, but I'm trying to make a point here. All I can think of was how uncomfortable this environment was. We've been in McKinleyville for some time now. No, not McKinley. We had been in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa. It has a beautiful city metropolis there, but we weren't really there. We were in the slum area where basically a lot of vagrants, a lot of people had basically built shacks for them, little huts, or maybe big huts, you know, whatever, and those garbage thrown about everywhere. It was all getting to me. It was just so dirty. It just smelled so terrible. And I was just so exhausted. It was too much to do. This was not a good environment. But I saw a lot of people who had to live here, and I thought, I'm not one of them. I can't do this. But Organic told me. He told me himself, we're here for a reason. You're just visiting here. You're just visiting to try to help out. Well, they want people who had to live here. I make a point here. Look, all I'm thinking about was how uncomfortable this environment was. I took a moment to summon myself. I tried to endure. I tried to basically summon all my strength, all my character, all my willpower. And I pedaled on. Now, while we were in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, a lot of bad things had happened. They didn't all really speak English. I could only find somebody who did. They both spoke Afrikaans. I don't speak a lick. I made a friend in basically the elder guy who was kind of the chief there, whatever. He died. And somehow, I don't know, it just felt like it was my only life support, whatever. Then I noticed one of the children. A lot of kids were on there playing around, living it like that, whatever. I noticed one of them died, too. And I realized how frequently this happens. What was I complaining for? These people had to live here. Dang it. I had to stop all this crybaby behavior. Stop worrying and just get the job done. Now, talking about accomplishing a big task and not crying anymore about being uncomfortable. I took it in. I started to do it. Sure enough, I was doing it. Putting them all up. Whatever. I was basically helping them build the shacks. Now, once again, we helped somebody where we were build housing, pod, whatever, but we just did the little stuff, basically, you know, being what's told what to do. We were not handy men. We were not handy people. We were not handy people. We were not. But we did what we needed to do to help these people. Because it was necessary, because people needed help. We built these shacks and whatever. I don't know if they were going to hold up. They were really going to survive and endure. And, you know, like, these houses are solid. They're not going to be knocked down. Whatever. I wasn't so sure. I sucked up my gut and I started doing it. I started doing it all. Today I truly felt like I was a man. You understand something? You know, when you become a man, it's not when you reach a certain age. It's not when you even have sex or drink for the first time. I know people who did that at the youngest age, and they were still goddamn kids. Still little nothing kids, man. You become a man when you take responsibility for your life, when it happens, and you learn to endure it. Honestly, there I was. I was out there hustling, helping build those shacks. Helping build them like crazy. Doing what I could to fortify them. making sure that we're somehow protected. I try to encourage everybody else to share, and basically, like, everybody here should get a shack. It didn't stop there. We tried to go to some people who are on the street begging whatever, and we asked them, we tried to get them to, join. Come in the shacks, live with them, and whatever. So, vagabonds, I don't think they wanted to. Some of them, they just felt they couldn't trust them, you know. And this is a place where people are especially destitute. You can't afford to trust. You can only afford to trust the kind of people who basically have so much they don't need any more. But if somebody drops money on the street, someone's going to pick it up. Building these houses, I noticed the same stink I began complaining about the whole time. I began to smell like that. It got to me. I was really starting to stink, and I was like, oh, God, I actually smell as bad as all this. I said, no, it's getting on me. I want to shower. I want to wash all this off. I want to not do this no more. The guy told me, no, dude, we'll take a nice hot shower after all this is over, get you a nice hot meal. But right now, these people need our help. I'll even throw in a cold drink. But these people need our help. So come on. You promised me that I can take the hottest, most cleansing shower after all this. He said, trust me, man, I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, come on, let's get us all clipped together. I wouldn't mean all of us at the same time. Well, the truth is, as we're putting those shacks together, I began to think about how many lives we had saved so far. How much of a difference that we had made. I mean, look at all the people that we had helped. All of them. And I wondered how much good we did. You know, we're building these shacks. We're building them. Wonder how they're going to last. I thought about that little boy who basically died of malnutrition. I thought, don't get me wrong, I'm sure he'd like a shack to live in. I'm sure he'd like something with four walls and a roof. But it's not going to feed him, is it? How do I help these people eat and whatever? How do I help these people, give them everything they really need? I know, you can't save them all. That's the point of all this. You just can't. I gotta tell you, I thought about it long and hard. Surely there has to be a place where you can build more huts, more whatever, a more place for more spacious civilization. The Earth is a vast, rich planet. It is very big, and there's a lot of place where people can live. Some people could live at sea. Some people could even live in the desert. Vegas, Reno, no, whatever. They've proven that. Look at those Nevadans. People can basically, everyone can have a place to live. Most people think it's a waste of money. Most people think, I don't care. I don't know what else, but, well, anyway, it finally happened. I finally came across that I could speak my own native tongue of English. I know most everyone in the world can speak a little bit of it, but we're in a place where not everybody does. Some of the world choose not to learn English because they hate America so much. And with good reason. But look, here, we were Americans doing something. I'm sorry, getting political here. My point is, it is the most strenuous thing we did so far. I'm not just talking about this job. I don't want to call with that. You know what? This wasn't just a job. It was a mission. We were making it happen. In the end, I didn't know what to do. I wanted to keep on doing it, but I wanted to make some suggestions about organic, about how we should be doing more. Anywho, look at it this way. This was the most taxing thing we could have done. It really is. Honestly, it was all getting to me. The heat, the smell, the garbage, the insects. It was all basically an ordeal.
Anywho, it really was something. It really was an ordeal. It really was basically something that we had done. We were doing it. And still, I wanted to give a clarion call to everyone to take up arms, basically, and help us. Someone get out here and do this. It's, in a way, we were alone. We weren't doing this. I know there are people out there who try to help those who are less fortunate and whatever, but it's not enough of it. Not enough. Not enough. Not enough. It's a true thing. It's a true thing. It just wasn't enough. It isn't. What are people going to help us? Are people going to basically step in and decide you're going to intervene and whatnot? As I was out there basically putting shacks together in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, all of it started to get to me, and I passed out. I'm not kidding. It just, it got to be too much. Oh, Gang thought I was just taking a break, you know, playing possum. He went over there and started poking me, and like, oh, damn it, I was out. The heat just got to me. It all got to me. I want to help these people in a bigger way. But how? How was I going to give these people exactly what they needed? How was I going to basically just save this world, people in it, big changes in America? But what about the rest of the world? It was too much of an ordeal. I wondered how much good we were really doing. I thought about all the people we did help. I thought about the fact that Organic is the one footing the bill for all this. And I decided we are doing something. We are. It's all for the greater good. You would listen to Kakuna from the microphone. You must have cocooned from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here, the one and only. Please, you know what? You can pick up all our shows on Blog Talk Radio. Call us when we're on the air every night at 7 o'clock, otherwise posted. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. You get all our shows on Blog Talk Radio. And check out a singer by the name of Maya Harrison who's going around doing a lot. Just conquering the world. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for being part of this. Thank you, and good night.